when in the enthusiasm of my youth, I remarked on this to Rose Waterford. She said, "Milk is very nice, especially with a drop of brandy in it. But the domestic cow is only too glad to be rid of it. A swollen udder is very uncomfortable." Rose Waterford had a blistering tongue. It was impossible not to see that Mrs. Strickland was an excellent—
"You may go,"
Cyrano shouted.
"Or tell me why you're staring at my nose."
The meddler was confused.
"Does it astonish you?"
Cyrano demanded. The meddler drew back. "You misunderstand."
"Is it long and soft and dangling like a trunk?"
"I never said—"
"Or crooked like an owl's beak?"
Cyrano cut the man off again.
"But,"
the meddler pleaded, "I have been careful not to look."
"And why not? It disgusts you, then?"
Cyrano continued, pressing forward.
"I have a deposit of 20,000 at Baring's Bank, which I will willingly wager on the risk."
20,000 pounds which you would lose by a single accidental delay?" cried Sullivan.
"The unforeseen does not exist," Phileas Fogg replied quietly. "I will bet 20,000 pounds that I will make the—"
Eppy dropped a low curtsy, first to Mrs. Cass, and then to Mr. Cass, and said,
"Thank you, ma'am, thank you, sir, but I can't leave my father, nor own anybody nearer than him."
Eppy's lips began to tremble as she retreated to her father's chair. Godfrey felt an irritation. He had been full of his own penitence and resolution, but the agitation with which he now spoke was not quite unmixed with anger. "But I've a claim on you, Eppy." He brushed the walls with his shoulder. He mistrusted the queerness of the people, yet by then even the town children had left off calling after him, and the tradesmen served him without a word. The slightest allusion to his clothing had the power to puzzle and frighten, especially as if it were something utterly unwarranted.